Tov Boker Tov. Regards from way down under. I'll talk to the Kollel in a little while, but it was really, our guys are doing extremely well there, so it's a lot of nachat, Baruch Hashem. Okay. Ari, you're behind the mechitza. Dealing with the question that I called initially a Shabbos. What happens and since this was before Shavuot and a lot happens on Shavuot, I'll briefly go over what we did. And then we'll begin the new material. Many people come to shul on Shabbos. Is there a possibility? And they ride to shul. And there's no possibility of their getting there by foot on shul. Is there a possibility of setting up a bus with regular stops, with an African American who looks like an African American, with a sweater and a hat that says Shabbaskoy in very strong and loud letters, and all over the bus, Zachorot Yom Shabbat Lakacho, regular stops to and fro. That was the shy. And the first issue that we dealt with was the Gemara in Gittin Dabcheh, where the Gemara says that you can ask a Gentile to write a contract for you to buy land in Eretz Yisrael, and you can ask the Goy to write this contract for you on Shabbat. And the Gemara asks, but Amira Lahakum Shvut, asking a guy to do something which is usher for you to do is a rabbinical prohibition. So how could you do something like that? And the Gemara answers, mitzvah. The issue of Eretz Yisrael shine. The mitzvah of settling the land of Israel is different. And actually it was even the Gemara began its discussion dealing with Syria and buying something in Parvarei Syria, because Syria is considered Eretz Yisrael. Maybe before the end of the year we'll talk about land for peace. Because Syria seems to be on the agenda right now in a very strong way. And the Golan, of course, there are records of shuls that were in the Golan during Bayit Sheni. And the Gemara speaks about I see you change of the guard. So it's a fascinating issue, the entire issue of land for peace. And whether we're allowed to do it or we're not allowed to do it. Not now our topic. But the Maskanata Gemara, under any circumstances, was that it was allowed to ask the Goy to write the contract on Shabbat because of mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Balei HaTosafot on the spot say only mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. because mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a very special mitzvah, and it's equal to all the other mitzvot of the Torah in accordance with many, many midrashim. I told you the Katzka and the Vurka. Did I tell it to you then?
Yes.
So the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael is such that you are completely ensconced, encompassed by the Kedusha if you're here in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what makes the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael so very unique, and it's very far-reaching. It makes the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael very unique, and it also in addition to everything else, there are mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz, the adama, the earth in Eretz Yisrael. You are completely encompassed by Kedusha living here. There is no aspect of the country, of the land, of the society in which mitzvah does not obtain. Now there are certain elements that don't agree with this, and the beginning of the Shemitah year they were sending out all sorts of things. You could have a share in keeping Shemitah even if you live in Chutz Laretz. You have to put in a certain percentage and you own a little bit of the land in which they keep Kedushat Shemitah. I didn't know whether to laugh or to cry because they're missing the whole boat. And apropos of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, this evening they're celebrating the 25th anniversary of Efrat. So it should be, certainly it should be something very nice. Bezrat Hashem. Okay. So the Balei HaTosfot say specifically it's a question of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's not any other mitzvah. With the possible exception of Brit Milah, because the Torah itself says that Brit Milah overrides Shabbos, B'yom HaShmini, if the eighth day happens to be on Shabbat, even then you do the operation, which involves Yisurei Melacha on Shabbos. So Shabbos could be in a sui generis, Brit Milah can be in a sui generis category. But clearly, according to the Tosfot, it's not an overall blanket heter. Nevertheless, we saw the Ran and the Baal HaItur, two very important Rishonim, who hold that you are even allowed to ask a guy to do a malacha which is a malacha dioraita, and to be over on the Isur Drabanon of asking a guy for any mitzvah. That Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is, in the context of the Gemara and Gittin, a general category of mitzvah. For the sake of a mitzvah, you are allowed to ask a guy to do a malacha on Shabbos. And the Ramah paskins that halacha. Ran, it was the Baal HaItur, it was the Tosfot Grid, who will say this. And the Ramah in Simen Reish Ayin Vav Seif Bet, the Ramah says you could ask the guy to do a mitzvah gemura on Shabbos. And the example he gives is if you are eating a Seudat Shabbat and it's very dark in the house, you can even ask a guy to put on the lights. So it's a big machlokas rishon. Did I tell you about Rabbi Akiva Eiger when he came to Posen on Yom Kippur? No. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik recorded a story I don't remember if there was a punchline to the story. I can't tell you if there was a punchline to the story. However, I can just tell you what happened. That in Europe, they generally followed this Ramah and followed that Psak Halacha. And where they especially followed that Psak Halacha was very obvious every year on Yom Kippur for Ne'ilah. You know, Yom Kippur for Ne'ilah, the synagogue was, thank you very much, the synagogue was filled to capacity. And people didn't know the Ne'ilah prayer by heart. And Ne'ilah is the very last time that you can gain forgiveness. So everybody gets very emotionally excited around the Ne'ilah time. Rabbi Akiva Eicha, who was, you know, great, great Talmid Chacham, he was elected to the rabbinate in Poznan. And Poznan was considered a major city in Europe, an important city, and it was an important shtetl. He came for Rosh Hashanah. Everything went very well. Shabbat Shuva, of course, it went very well. Gave a long drasha. Shabbos, Yom Kippur, I'm sorry. And the Ne'ilah, right before the beginning of Ne'ilah, when it's getting dark, of course, Ne'ilah is right by sunset. So it's getting dark already for Ne'ilah. The guy used to come in, who was a known Shabbos guy, and he would light the lights, you know. They had what everyone had at that time. They had kind of chandeliers that had to be lit. So the guy would come to light the lights. So Rabbi Akiva Eicha didn't know anything about it, but that was the minute. They did it every year based upon that Ramah. If you could light lights for a Suda, ask the guy to do it. You could certainly have the guy kindle the lights for Tefillah, for Ne'ilah. Rabbi Akiva Eicha sent the guy away. He said no. Passing like the Balei HaTosfot, he was Rachmir. He didn't want the guy to do it. There was, as the Rav described it, there was a wail and a roar in the synagogue. From the women's section, everybody was crying. From the men's section, there was clear opposition. Now, I don't remember, maybe, yes, I don't remember the end of the story. I don't remember if Rabbi Akiva Eicha gave in or if the congregation gave in, but somebody had to give in. I don't know what happened. But it was a very big issue. The Rambam's position is, and that was the last thing that I think we did, the Rambam's position is that the guy can do an Isur Darabona. The only time the guy can do an Isur Dioraita is mitzvat Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam does make a distinction between mitzvat Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which is clearly what the Gemara says in the Yitin. So for mitzvat Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, yes, but for anything else, no. But for anything else, if it's an Isur Derabanan, then it's okay. So of course, this will get us into the whole question of the kind of setup in the bus and whether what is involved is an Issa Doraisa or an Issa Darabanan, but that will come to that right now. That will come to probably next week, Be'ezrat Hashem. Okay. In the meantime, I'd like you to take the first sheet. I think I gave this to you actually last time. At least some of these I gave to you last time. But the first is from Baghdad. Shelot u'tshuvot zivchei tzedek, Rabbi Abdallah Somech Dan. Late 19th century in Baghdad. And he has a very, very interesting, tshuva. Od she'elat le'inyan ha'pialchi. I'm not quite certain what a pialchi is. I think it's something like a rickshaw, where it was actually people who would carry chairs and run with people who were seated in the chairs on Shabbos. Like a rickshaw. I was in Australia, so going, I passed Bangkok, but that was only, it was only an hour or 2 hour stop, so maybe even a 3 hour stop, but we didn't go in. Coming back from Australia, I came back via Hong Kong. So there we have a rabbi in Hong Kong and a principal and a teacher in the school in Hong Kong. So I got off in Hong Kong and I actually gave a shiur in Hong Kong. There was a 6 hour break, so I was in Hong Kong. But I didn't stop in Bangkok this time going. But once I had a 6 hour stopover in Bangkok, and I had time, you know, it was more than that. I think I actually stayed overnight in Bangkok. I was the guest of the Lubavitcher Rabbi. So I stayed overnight in Bangkok. And he took me to see some of the sites. And there were still the rickshaw drivers. I couldn't do it. Although he said, and he made a point, he said, I'm not doing them a favor. They want the business. They want the money, but I couldn't do it. But I think that's what he's talking about here. A falach, anyway, is a slave. Remember that when you sign your ketubot, when you get married in Yitz Hashem, in the ksuba it says, the falchin means to be a falach, it means to be a slave. You have to serve her. It means you have to serve your wife. That's what it means. You have to serve your wife. Pshuto kumashmo, you have to serve your wife. Ari? Those who are married, important stuff. As od she'elat le'inyan ha'pialchi shenosim oto ha'goyim v'Yisrael yoshev b'tocho. That's what probably is. They used to call the chairs that were driven by male servants. And they were goyim. Im mutar lirkov bo biyom Shabbat Kodesh. If it's permissible to ride in such a chair, in such a rickshaw, on Shabbos. V'kigon she'ein harabim tzrichim lo. And it's not a question that he has to get there, that the Jew has to get there in order to give a shear that the majority of the people wish. Because sometimes there are certain heterim that you can have if it's considered l'tzorech rabin. But it's not for l'tzorech rabin. Imutar, is this permissible? Kevan sha'goyim no simoto. Since it's goyim who are the rickshaw drivers. Or is it prohibited? Who would like to read? Let everybody scream out at once. Okay, Yonatan, go on. Instead of gave a half. Maybe you just want to do the exercise, but all right, go on. Yeah.
Simin Shin Aleph.
Or a Chaim Simin Shin Aleph, yes. Ayinsha. Umishim Hachi. Because the first problem is obviously the problem of carrying if there's no Eruv. Go on. And that's what the guy is doing. He's doing the Isur Hotzah for you on Shabbos. Kmo Sheviu Atur. Afilu Achi. Bishvil Yisrael. Anything which a Jew cannot do, the Gentile can't do it for the Jew. And here the Gentile is doing it for the Jew. Now he's not talking about mitzvah. If it's mishum mitzvah, that can change the fundamental halacha, right? But here he's not putting in the area of mitzvah. Go on. Uvdin d'chol. On Yom Tov, it's not an Issa d'oraita, but it's the Issa which we call Uvdin d'chol. Some people say Uvdin d'chol is also d'oraita. The Ramban says, when it says in the Torah, Tishbot, you shall rest, that means there should be rest. The Rambam says at the end of Hilchot Shabbos, he learns it from Leman Yanuach, in order that you may rest. And both the Ramban and the Rambam say that it's a mitzvah say to have what's called Shvitan Keret, obvious rest on Shabbat, the Yom Tov. But Hotza'ah could be an Isur Lav D'Oraita. But the Isur Hotza'ah does not apply on Yom Tov. The Isur Hotza'ah only applies on Shabbat, as you know. So therefore, the Isur on Yom Tov is Uvdin D'chol, which may be a D'oraita, but is not a Lo Ta'aseh D'oraita, so therefore it's less strict. Go on. Ayein HaMachavisham, Simen Tuf Kaf Chaf Bet, Ot Gimel, Mashkosem, okay, go on. V'chitema.
V'chitema, Im Kein, Ma'u Efresh, Yesh Ben HaFalchi, Uvein HaKoron.
What's the difference? The Zifrei Tzedek asks. Because the Zifrei Tzedek was dealing with riding in a train. What's the difference between the Fialchi and the train? Karon is a cabin in the train. Go on. Misilota Barzel. I guess maybe a karon could be a chariot driven by a goy, and Mesilota Barzel is a train. Go on. Marshal. Biyam Shel Shlomo de Beitza. He says as follows. He says in general, if the guy is going to be carrying you in a kisei like a rickshaw, that's prohibited. If he's carrying you to take you home for Sudot Shabbat, or I would assume to take you home for shul, take you for shul, midvar mitzvah, it could be that it would be all right. In the case of a train, he says, the goy is not running the train for you. He's running the train anyway. for many goyim. So there is a prohibition against your hiring a goy to do something that is usher for you to do on Shabbat. Again, we're not putting in the mitzvah quotient yet. But if the goy is doing it anyway for Gentiles, then he says it's okay. Yes.
Can you explain how he gets that from the Yom Tov Shlomo talking about not taking the chair outside the house but just keeping it inside?
No. He says as follows. The Yisur HaKisei B'Yom Tov Mishum Hotza'ah. The reason is because he's going out with it. Shemotzi'in HaKisei B'Shvilo, but he's taking the Kisei for the individual.
Okay. And the next
part? And he's taking the Kisei for the individual. Aval imro tzil yerkov b'kisei b'veto, if he wants to ride in the kisei within his house. And I would imagine that here it may be outside of the tchum, outside of the outside, which is prohibited because it's a long tshuva. And he says in the tshuva, he prohibits in the tshuva, even though on Yom Tov you're allowed to carry outside, you aren't allowed to go beyond the tchum.
Being carried around inside his house.
So if he's carried within the house, they used to do that, especially for older people. They used to do that as a sign of respect and, you know, wealth, luxury. So you would say it's okay because the guy is not doing anything which is forbidden. But if it would touch on anything which would be forbidden, like michutz the tchum, there's no permissibility. So it would seem that Harav Abdallah ben Avram Somech would be matir riding on a train if it's betoch tchum Shabbat, it's not uvdin dechol. There's a more far-reaching tshuva that deals with a problem which is raised on this issue by the Chatam Sofer, who also dealt with this problem of going into the train is going anyway. That's the assumption. So the major heter, which is different, I want to add something which is important. It's fundamentally different from the heter of the Ramah, the Tzorach Mitzvah. The heter here is based upon the fact, because in the cases of the Tzorach Mitzvah that we've seen until now with the Ran and the Baal Ha'itur and the Ramah, the Heter is based upon the fact that the Goy, even though the Goy is doing it for the Jew, the Goy is doing it for the Jew for the sake of the Jews being able to accomplish a mitzvah that otherwise he wouldn't be able to accomplish. In the case that the Zivchei Tzedek is talking about, and you'll see that Rav Uziel is talking about, at least in the first instance, we're not necessarily talking about the guy doing it for the Jew because the Jew has to do the mitzvah. So therefore, in general, a Jew cannot benefit from anything done by a guy that the Jew himself is not allowed to do. However, that's if the guy is doing it for the Jew. If the guy is doing it in general, that's a Mishnah Mefureshet, actually, in Masechet Shabbat, where if the guy can put up a ramp, people are on a boat, they have to get off the boat, and if the guy puts up a ramp for himself to get off, for the other guy to get off, so the Jew can make use of that ramp as well. Because the guy didn't do it for the Jew. So if the guy doesn't do it for the Jew, then it's in a different category. Okay? Clear? Now, Harav Uziel, who was the Rishon LeZion, who was the chief Sephardi rabbi in Medinat Yisrael during the period, the latter period of Rav Kook and the period of Rav Herzog, and he has some very far-reaching tshuvot, including tshuvot on the question of gyur and conversion, being widely quoted today. His tshuvot are called Mishpatei Uziel. His name was Rav Ben Zion Uziel. He was a great posek and a great Talmid Chacham. And he wrote as follows. Bedin Nesiya Bakaronot Kitoriot. Karonot Kitoriot are trains. A karon is like a compartment. Kitoriot, which has smoke coming up. It was as an engine. It works with an engine, not with a horse. O chashmaliot, so it's either through smoke or electric, b'Shabbat. Okay. Okay. Who would like to read? Go on.
מותר לנסוע בשבת וביום טוב בקרונות של קיטור או חשמליות שהולכות בתוך העיר ממקום למקום ושמתנהגות על ידי לא יהודים.
Yeah, now ultimately the answer that I gave this, the rabbi who asked the question, and at the end it didn't work. For him it didn't work. Is very strongly based upon this Mishpatei Uziel. Go on. Yeshiva al gabe karon b'Shabbat v'Yom Tov.
Sakrama le'esor. Afilu k'shehu mitnaheget al yedei lo yehudim.
Afilu k'shehi mitnaheget al yedei lo yehudim.
Mishum sheyishtamesh b'behema.
Shemishtamesh b'behema. Now wait. So this is already talking about not a train, but a horse and buggy that's being driven by a goy. But you see, in the Aseret Hadibrot, it says that you aren't allowed to work on Shabbos, neither you nor
your animals.
So you can't be mishtamesh b'behema b'shabbat. That's a very important principle. Okay, but it could be more far-reaching than that. There's likewise the expression you can't be mishtamesh be'ilan on Shabbat, to climb up a tree. The notion being, if indeed that is the prohibition, and according to many mefarshim, there is a separate prohibition. You can't be mishtamesh by any animal. Because on Shabbat, you must appreciate the fact that everything created has a right to be. We tend to think as all of creation serving us. The Baal Shem Tov said in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, that anyone who cannot say Shabbat Shalom to a dog or to a tree doesn't understand Shabbat. Dog owners should take note of that. Because Shabbat is a day of rest for the animals too. It's for all of creation. The message is that all of creation has a right to be independent of me and service to me. Shabbat, the world is God-centric, not man-centric, not anthropocentric, theocentric. And therefore, Shabbat is a day of rest for all of creation. And that's the expression, not mishtamesh behemah, the Yerushalmi. The Bavli talks about the fact that you can't like ride an animal on Shabbat, ride a horse on Shabbat, because you may take off a twig. That's the Bavli. The expression in the Yerushalmi is Asur lehishtamesh b'vehemah lehishtamesh b'ilad. You can't use it. Make use of it. It's not for your use on Shabbos. Okay, go on. Mishum shemishtamesh b'vehemah. Can't do that. V'gam shelo yachtok zmora. Correct. Okay, go on.
Kevan sheken yotze b'kronot shebenidon didan she'ena nimshachot al yedei behemah.
So as a result of this, if we're talking then about, so if it's a horse and buggy, that kind of karon, so I understand that that's prohibited. And I got to tell you that alachas kama v'chama, a rickshaw would be prohibited. For an extra reason that we didn't mention before, a beautiful reason, a magnificent reason. And it says specifically in the Aseret HaDibrot, Loman Yanuach Avdecha Va'amatecha Kamocha. It's called the Fialchi. He's acting like your Falach. You can't do that. Shabbat is a day in which you have to understand the right of all creation to be. It's a magnificent notion. You know, Rav Soloveitchik and I always, I'm very makbid about this, but Rebbe felt very strongly that you weren't allowed to quote half psukim. Where's the Gemara Megillah? That when you can't quote here for Pesukim, we start Kiddush on Friday night, Vayir Vayhi Boker Yom, or just Yom HaShishi. The Rav was always makbid to do the whole bracha, to do the whole pasuk, which is Vayar Elokim et kol asher asa vihinei tov ma'od Vayir Vayhi Boker Yom HaShishi. And that's the message of Shabbos. Vayar Elokim et kol asher asah v'hinei tov ma'od. Every creation. So alachat kama v'chama, if you can't use an animal, you can't use a tree. It's not this way. You can't use a tree, you can't use an animal, you certainly can't use a rickshaw driver. If it's going to be a human animal, yes. Yeah, we're talking formally now. Not, you know, in a formal declaration. In a formal declaration, like a bracha, etc., you should quote the whole pasuk. If you're trying to say something, you're trying to prove something from part of a pasuk, I don't think that's a problem. Go on. Yeah, who is reading? Yes.
Rabbi Amital is very reactive in a shir.
Yeah, look, certainly that's how it should be. Certainly that's how it should be. Yeah, go on. But I wouldn't, if you're in the midst of learning and you're trying to, you know, capture something, I wouldn't. Yeah, go on.
Okay. לא משום אמירה לגוי, פועל בקרנות אלה הן הולכות, הולך ויושב...
הלוך ושב, they're going back and forth, ממקום למקום.
בכל מספר נושאים שימצאו בהם, גויים או ישראלים.
Right. In other words, if you're dealing with a train, you're not dealing with anything for Jews. Jews, you can't make use of that if it's for you. But if it's not for you, it's for people in general, and those people include Gentiles, it's not the same issue. Go on. Kevesh.
Sorry, Kevesh.
A ramp, right.
Sha'asa'o
hagoy la'atzmo. If a Gentile made a ramp for himself.
Mutar Yisrael ishtamesh bo.
Even if he knows the guy. But since the guy is not doing it for him, then it's okay. Go on. So we're talking about trains that are going within the Trum Shabbat and not beyond the Trum Shabbat. Okay?
Hilkach.
So in order to get to shul, he says, it's permissible to do it. Okay. Now, the Chatam Sofer raised another issue. Yeah, give me just 2 minutes. I would like to just finish the tshuva. The Chatam Sofer raised another issue. And therefore, he brings now the Chatam Sofer. Go on. Go on. Aval? Chidush ze shel Chatam Sofer le'esor rechiva b'karon, because the Chatam Sofer dealt with the same issue and he prohibited. And he prohibited for a very interesting reason. Go on, Mishum.
Mishum shegufo
na'er. Na'vinad. Na'vinad. Because you're not resting. Your body is constantly in action. I guess it depends also on the kind of trains. I was just on a plane yesterday for 21 hours on planes, new planes. So there was the ride from Hong Kong to Tel Aviv was very bumpy. So everything was moving. And dishes crashed. And I was moving back. But in general, it's very smooth. You don't feel a thing. And that's certainly true on a train. But I guess when trains first began, you were constantly moving back and forth. Nevertheless, he says, even though hu nistar mimasha katuv ramah, somehow the Chatam Sofer was hidden from him, what the Ramah says, go on.
Sham asul yeshev al gabei karon she'eno yehudi.
She'eno yehudi manhigo b'shabbat.
Mishum shemishtamesh b'behima.
Right. Gam shelo yachtoch zmora. Those were the problems.
Okay.
Ule divrei Chatam Sofer.
Hayalo lomar gam tam ze de'eno
shoveit begufo. Correct. According to the Chatam Sofer, the Ramah should have added the other reason why you aren't allowed to use a horse and buggy, because you're going by, your body is not resting. Go on, Kevan.
Kevan shehu navanad. Uvemet tam ze denavanad. Hu lakush.
Hu kalush
ma'od.
It's not really a strong reason. Le'esor. It's a very weak reason, le'esor. Kalush ma'od from kal. It's a very weak reason. Go on.
She'im ken.
Right. When I go Shabbos morning from shul to shul, I do a lot of walking. My body is not at rest at all. Nobody asked that. Go on.
Mishum
she'ein
gufo nach.
In other words, Can anybody tell me why is he saying that? Because
it's easier to sit on a train.
Yes, it's easier to sit on a train, right? But he's making, I think, reference to something else. It could have been prohibited, but it wasn't prohibited. Because if you look at Yeshayahu, the perek in Yeshayahu, when he talks about it, Hiruchacha b'Shabbat should not be kimo hiruchacha b'chol. So there might have been a good reason to prohibited extra walking on Shabbos, even within Trum Shabbat. But it wasn't done. And the Ramah doesn't mention it. So therefore, the Mishpatei Uziel says, this is not something, even though there might have been reason to have answered it, we did not. ולכן נראה, go on.
לכן נראה שגם החתם סופר לא נאסר
לא אסר, אלא
אלא להולך כל יום השבת או רובו.
In other words, the trip in a horse and buggy that the Chatam Sofer assered because you were not vinod, he was talking probably about, according to Mishpre Uziel, a very long trip. Except for business purposes. In other words, something that wasn't at all in keeping with what you would do or should do on Shabbat. But it wasn't specifically because of the movement. Because the movement would not have been strong enough to us. Okay. So fundamentally, he is Matir. The Mishpatei Uziel is Matir. He sets down, however, some very, very important principles. And the most important principles he sets down is the basic heter is that the guy is not doing it for the Jew. I believe that all of these poskim are troubled by the Rambam. Despite the Ran, the Baal Ha'itor, first of all you have the Baal Tosfot, then you have the Rambam, that if it's an Issa Dioraita, it cannot be done by a guy for a Jew. And there are those who say that even an Issa Drabanan, it cannot be done for a guy for a Jew, but an Issa Drabanan, the Rambam is more notel lahokel. It's not clear that the Baalei HaTosfot would be Matir. So that in effect, the Mishpatei Uziel says it should be structured in such a way that the guy is not doing it for the Jew. It's being done in general. It's being done in general for goyim as well, and then the Jew can take advantage of it. Now, I would add to this from my own perspective, and what, if you remember, Rav Soloveitchik told me when I first brought this to his attention. If this whole solution is being engineered by a Jewish community to allow for riding on Shabbat, it becomes very difficult to then prohibit an individual Jew from getting into his car on Shabbat. In other words, the distance between the Jewish community engineering a Shabbos for Jews to get to shul, and an individual Jew getting into his car to ride to the shul on Shabbos, which is what the conservative movement permitted, that distance is a very short distance. That's what bothered me. And therefore, now there's one more issue. There's only one. I promise you, I'm not going to stop. I just want you to hear the objection of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And that's on page 8. It's Shelot to Tshuvot to Grot Moshe, Yoredei Chelek Aleph Simon Mendalit. Who would like to read? Leo, thanks for volunteering. Go on. Habosim v'trains. Ha'otobosim v'harakavot. That was put in by whoever the editor was. Tchumin, which are only going, because that's the first thing. And it's not done just for Jews. Hinei af shemedina. Now, that's very important. In all the other tshuvot, I'm sure the assumption was the Jew wouldn't have to pay. Hinei af shemedina ein yira b'zeh isur. Meikar adin, the guy is doing it. There are a lot of heterim if it's for the Jew alone. Certainly, if it's for Goyim in general, there are a lot of heterim we saw already. There's Zivchei Tzedek and the Mishpatei Uziel. And according to the Mishpatei Uziel, even the Chatam Sofer wouldn't answer. Although that's less clear. And if it's not for the Jew, certainly it seems okay, obviously, as long as the Jew doesn't have to pay. Now, mikol makom. So first we speak, his mediniyot, he asks it also because of mediniyot, but a little bit different mediniyot. Go on, you'll see in a moment. Mikol makom, chas v'shalom lahatir davar kazeh. And here he adds, af l'dvar mitzvah. The Jew needs it to get to shul on Shabbos. Go on. Right. There's Isur of Maratayin. People will see. And they'll think you're paying. They won't realize you're not paying. It's a bus where everybody got on to pay. So you're giving off the wrong message. Go on. Do a mele yachshidul shishileim. He'll suspect that he paid. V'yavar alisur hotza'a v'tiltul muktzeh. You carried a ticket from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Or you took money, which was certainly at the very least muktzeh. Go on. Lo yishalmu. Yeah, because people are liable to see you when they're thinking that you're going to your business. They won't realize you're going to shul. Now, these difficulties that he raises are not so much halachic difficulties. For mediniyut reasons, he feels that it could give off the wrong message. Therefore, there's another tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein. In a private letter, Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote a number of private letters. I got into trouble because I didn't know one of those private letters. It's easy to get. He wrote a private letter to the OU about single malt scotch. He was Matir single malt scotch. Based on a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, that in order for, even though they sometimes use casks, wine casks, and that would ask a single malt scotch. But there's a Shita Satosvus and Rav Moshe obviously paskin that way, that because of the strength of whiskey, in order for the whiskey to be to absorb in any significant way the wine in the cask, It has to be not a 60th, but a 6th, which it isn't. So Rav Moshe wrote a letter that's Matir, which is why the OU was Matir. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Hirsch Shechter Asses, still Asses. But there is such a letter of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe wrote a number of letters. You know, if people asked him privately, he wrote them a letter privately that didn't get into Igros Moshe necessarily for whatever the reason. So here in page 9, Zikaron B'Sefer Harav Pinchas Goldschmidt, this will be the last thing we'll take up. And yes, Rav Pinchas Goldschmidt writes as follows. Hine. Okay. Who was volunteering to read? Who was volunteering to read? Bevakasha.
Hine kasher higati.
Well, Rav Goldschmidt came to Moscow. Higati heina, lefnei shalosh shanim nodali. The metro. That's the train. The metro. Right. The tshuva was not written in Igrot Moshe. Go on. Nechdo, Harav from Tzion Rabbi Mordechai Tendler Shlita,
Sheshimesh Bakodesh,
Eitzel Mar Sabo, which I can attest to personally, as he was the gatekeeper. He was the shamus, really, of Rav Moshe during his older years, and especially when he was ill, right?
Yimtzili et Lashon HaHeter, Ramispar HaSiduri,
Shenitan Igeret. And Vizel Lishono. Go on.
Bekeshel in Isiyav Rakevet Ba'ir Moskova,
Sheberusia.
Eshiv Mar Sabi, Vishna Tafshin
Membet. Tafshin Membet. 24 years ago, right?
Afil in Yesh Isur Vidavar. Ein Linchot Biyad Harotzin Linsov Rakevet.
Now, we already said in the earlier tshuva, when he's saying Anissa, he felt it was difficult, he explained why, because people maritain and people might think that you paid for it. So that's the issue that he's talking about. He's not, go on, yes? Ein limchot, one should not protest those who want to go in such a way to get to shul, lishmoat kiat shofar. Now, if you know the other tshuvot of Rav Moshe, we saw a little bit of this last time. Rav Moshe doesn't hold a principle of chatei kadeshi yizkeh. He was very strong against that in many ways. But here it's because the me'ikar hadin, since there's a Gentile who is doing it, and he's not doing it for the Jew, the fundamental prohibition is removed. Go on. Hashkafati, klali, shemori sabi haya omer, liyudei Rusya,
v'nogea, l'chaluyot shonot.
Yeah. There are different things, different, I guess, chaluyot, different, to be chal, the different matzavim. Go on. Va'az hosif mori sabi.
Sheledina nirei
de be'etzem utah. That's exactly the what I was saying. That as far as the halacha is concerned, it's fundamentally permissible. Ki. Ubishvil goy. And they're doing it. They're running it and they're doing it. It's not a Jew who's doing it. Umistaber. Right. The question is, it could be an Uvdin Dechol which doesn't have that. If something is a Maasechol, the definition is not that simple, that precise, that definite. And here it's difficult to call it an Uvdin Dechol if his purpose is to do a mitzvah. Go on.
Right,
because otherwise they wouldn't be able to get to do the mitzvah in shul. Uchamuvan. Yes, he says do it in such a way that if you, for example, take the kartis and you sort of put it as a kind of decoration piece on something you're wearing. Now, if you could completely avoid that from happening, in other words, my suggestion finally was to this rabbi. First of all, there had to be a neighbor, which there isn't yet. Second of all, the municipality had to do it and not the Jewish community, which apparently he couldn't get. And it couldn't be only for Shabbos. I wanted it to be for Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, for the weekend. So it would be clear that it wasn't done for the Jews. Thirdly, it would be written on this bus that there is no charge. It's done by the municipality as a service to the people of West Hampton at no charge. So there was no question of marasayin from that perspective. And if all of those things were effectuated, I felt. And if it were very clear that it was only to be used by people who otherwise wouldn't be able to get to shul. He had, for example, a breakaway shul that was closer to the water. So I said people who could make it, who could walk to the breakaway shul, couldn't use the bus to go to his shul. Anyway, apparently at the end of the day it was too complicated, so he didn't put it into practice. But what's fascinating is you see what the poskim are dealing with. There is a heter of Amir Lakum Lidvar Mitzvah. Lechatchila, it's best not to paskin it. But in order to save people to do the mitzvah, otherwise you wouldn't do the mitzvah, there's certainly room to be matir. But in the case of riding, because it's such a very sensitive issue on Shabbos, and there are so many people who desecrate Shabbos by riding, and there's a conservative movement that already says you're allowed to drive your cars to shul on Shabbos, the community itself, the Jewish community itself, I felt strongly shouldn't do it, and that's why I also feel that there shouldn't be a parking lot open on Shabbos, even though one can find a tarim for doing that. I think it's giving off the wrong message. I will, however, there are other issues involved as well, and I told you there's a fascinating tshuva of Chacham Ovadia, who did not take many of these things into consideration. So we'll have one more shir on that probably next Monday and next Thursday, and then Be'ezrat Hashem we'll turn to something else. Yes.
Yeah, this is sort of an unusual case that you're describing. I wanted to extrapolate it to something that affects more people more commonly, if I could. So there's three very short cases, and you can think about maybe the time, or if you can sort of on one foot. But just in our own home, for example, we'll often have, not often, but occasionally even as many as 20 guests. So in terms of, there's no malacha involved, but in terms of my wife, as you were saying, serving your wife, there's really no menucha for her in having that, but she would never say, don't invite them. Invite them. But there's certainly no menucha in that. So is there any problem? Because really, it's obviously a lot easier to have any company. So that's case one. Case two, I have a...
No, so therefore I don't understand. Well,
there's no malacha, but the concept of rest and relaxing.
So what's your question? What?
Does menucha, does the spirit of Shabbat get impeded if the people aren't just enjoying a restful Shabbat? There's no malacha. This is not...
I would say for sure. I would say, for example, you have to help us.
No.
To put it very crassly. And if not,
I mean, she could say, listen, folks don't have the company. I mean,
or, and the kids, in other words, look,
wash your dishes.
Or less company.
Yeah, no.
I got a lesson, I tell you, I got a lesson, I'll never forget this. In the Nevei Shmuel, there's a cat's dining hall. Okay, it's easy. That's the Chadar Ochalim. The people who donated it, well, this is the grandson of the grandparents. And from many points of view, it's interesting. It's also a Chil Shabbos thing. The shul was in an apartment. Still. And believe me, then already we had a mechitza, Baruch Hashem, just had gotten in the mechitza, so Mr. Tiefenbrunn, there were a number of frum people, but very few. And this very tall man walks in, Adolf Katz. Cohen, yes. He came in right before Kriyas HaTorah on Pesach. And he got an aliyah. And then, by Musaf, I was the only Kohen. So I said, Mr. Katz, and I saw he said he knew, and he knew the brachas by heart over the Torah. So I said, listen, I won't be duchening alone. I feel so good. He says, I can't do it. I said, why can't you duchen? And he showed me that two of his fingers were gone. He came to America from Romania as a young person, very young guy. And his first business was toilet seats. He made toilet seats. And from that, he developed into real estate, and he owns a great deal of the West Side, maybe the East Side too by now. He owns, he's already in all of my MS. His son's own, the Beacon Hotel, many, many, many places on the West Side. He owns. Owned that. I didn't know that. But when he was originally in the toilet seat business, somehow in producing toilet seats, however it happened, the two fingers blew off. And a Rabbi Dim, I shouldn't have mentioned the rabbi's name, I'm sorry, crossed it out. Maybe it's not that name. But there was a rabbi where he used to go to Shul of Shabbos, told him that he couldn't do it. So I said, no. I'll show you, and I showed him the halacha that since we cover our even our fingers and our whole body with the talis, you're allowed to duchen if you have some kind of a deformity or a mum. The reason why you couldn't duchen is because people might look at the deformity and not have kavana for the bracha. But they'll have kavana for the bracha. I said, you can. He was a big guy, 6'4". You remember the Katz family? Do you remember that? He started to cry. And he says, but I still can't do it. I said, why? He said, when I left Romania, my father kissed me goodbye. And we knew it was the last time we would see each other. my father said to me, remember you're a Kohen. And Kohen is Jewish royalty. And you get up to bless the congregation every Yom Tov. But you have to be a Shomer Shabbos. And he said, from the time I came to America, I remember what my father said, and I wanted to always be able to duchen, and I was a Shomer Shabbos. When the rabbi told me that I couldn't duchen anymore, I stopped keeping Shabbos. So I can't duchen now. So I hugged him. I remember I had to jump up. He was crying. I had to, like, jump up a little bit, you know. And I said to him, so it'll be very easy for you. You'll do it and you'll become a Shomer Shabbos. And he did. He became a Shomer Shabbos. And I can't tell you how important he was for the shul. He was the one. My biggest problem in New York was there were no sukkot. You couldn't put up a sukkah because people lived in these high-rise apartments. And there was no way, because there was a ledge on top of your veranda. Sukkot was the forgotten holiday. There was an Italian restaurant nearby that had a car park. He rented the car park for 8 days of Sukkot. He built with his sons and grandsons a sukkah for 450 people. He organized a group of people who helped subsidize the meals in the beginning. Then after a while, we'd have to subsidize the meals. People bought food. There was also catering. People bought food, then couldn't afford the catering. It was fine. But in the beginning, they were subsidized. And we had a sukkah, thanks to him. Now, all of this I'm telling you because one morning, and I became very close to the family, obviously, to him and to his wife and then to his children and to his grandchildren and his grandsons. Donated, they gave us the money for the dining hall. I'm still in touch with him, the grandson. So I'm walking in the street, and I was maybe, I don't know, 26, 27. And Mrs. Katz, his wife was a very tough character. Strong lady, worked with him from the toilet seats to the real estate. Worked with him side by side. Mrs. Katz says, Rabbi, how are you? I said, Baruch Hashem, fine, thank you. She says, I saw your wife. She doesn't look good to me. How many guests are you having this evening for dinner? So I said, I had, when Lincoln Square, all the Kiruv, when I moved to Israel, it was different. And then really, Shabbos Yom Tov, mostly children, and obviously, but not very rarely anything else. But how dare you do that to your wife? Are you cooking? Are you serving? Believe me, I don't cook, and I tell you the truth, I don't serve. I'm not proud of it. So she said, it's not fair. I had a long talk with my wife said, this is what she likes to do. I mean, I really did go home and I had a hope. Anyway, that evening, about an hour before Shabbos, doorbell rings, and there's an African-American lady standing there. Two ladies, actually. Yeah? Mrs. Katz sent us. We're here for the evening. Now, my wife wouldn't let anybody, certainly anybody who's not, you know, so she thanked everybody very much, and she said to me, she wouldn't have anybody in the kitchen, so it never, they never, but I learned the world from her. She was right, Mrs. Katz.
I've occasionally taken Debbie away for Shabbat or holidays, as something like that idea, and my second question was, when you go to a hotel, sometimes where it's totally Jewish, meaning the clientele. And so my second question was, when the hotel is being closed down by Jewish groups, whether it's Pesach or Shabbat, how do we deal with these non-Jews? And by the way, there's always some Jews involved, security, management, whatever, but there's, let's say, even if it is mostly non-Jews or all non-Jews, how do we get the Hetzer to have them working, serving all these Jews? Because all these levels are going on. Only for Jewish groups? No, no.
I said it was so simple. Look, if they're doing things that they are allowed to do, like serving, you know, they're doing things that they are allowed to do, certainly you can't pressure them too much. The catering, for example, in the Beit HaRacha, I check all the time. My family is involved with it also. That there's time for Kiddush, and there's time for Zmirot, for the help, for the Meltzarim that they eat too.
Because I got from what you said, if it's they're doing it for non-Jews, and some Jews are there, so it's sort of permitted.
Yeah, but still, the Jews themselves, you were dealing with Gentiles, you were running the karonot, you were running the cranes, you're running those things, and non-Jews. If you're dealing with Jews who are waiters, I was a waiter in hotels in my younger days. It's very hard. Shlomi Ehrenreich. It was very hard. I felt no Shabbos. I left them, you know, early on. Now Masad, I was a Meltzar in Masad, it was very different. They were very sensitive to that, that, you know, you also, the Meltzarim, they sat at the table and sang, and that's what I try to, in the Beit HaRacha, that's what I try to make sure happens. But there is an issue. The Leman Yanuach and Tishbot of the Ramban and the Rambam, it has to be Shmitani Keret. Shmitani Keret means you have to rest on Shabbos. And if it's resented work, I mean, look, it's like, you know, my son would very often ask provocative things, and he would say, you know, Abba, you work very hard on Shabbos. God is paying him back because he does the catering, so he's now working hard on Shabbos. So God is paying him back. But I said I very much enjoy what I do, which is true. But if I would begin to resent it, I think I wouldn't do it. If I would feel that it took away from me from Menuchat HaShabbat. And I always make sure that I have even a half hour to stretch out Shabbos afternoon, no matter how tight, after the shul, the various shuls in the morning. And then I have Daf Yomi. And then sometimes Shalosh Shudis at Neve Shmuel. If I always must have a half hour, 40 minutes, to just even the shortest Shabbat, just to be in the room quietly with a sefer or a book in bed. Otherwise I would resent it. I wouldn't do it. So it is an issue. Certainly it's an issue. It is an issue. Yes. Last question.
Except for a couple of times during the years, like when we're reading Parshat Zachor and hearing the shofar, what real chiyuv do we have to be in the synagogue to push it off and be able to be in a normal Shabbos?
The what?
What do we have? What chiyuv do we have to be actually in the shul to be in a shul?
Well, tefillah b'tzibur.
Is it that strong of a chiyuv?
I don't know what that means.
I
think it's a chiyuv.
I don't know that to be.
I think it's a chiyuv. It's not a chiyuv al kol. It's not necessarily a chiyuv al kol yochid v'yochid. I mean, Kriyas HaTorah Barabim, for example, according to Reb Chaim Briska, it was a chiyuv al kol yachid. It's not. Yeah, it's not. Most poskim don't hold that it's a chiyuv al kol yachid v'yachid. But there is mutal al tzibur hagvarim, and the assumption is that males are supposed to be in shul and shop. And every morning. And I guess every afternoon and every evening. People like me, it's easy because there are so many, you know, affairs I have to go to, so the affairs usually daven in the Chemayrev too. But tefillah b'tzibur is an assumed chiyuv. Are you over Yisurim if you don't? As an individual? Probably not. But is there clearly a chiyuv? I think there is. I don't think anyone would deny that.
I just mean, out of ignorance, where exactly is it clearly stated in the Gemara that that's the case?
Well, the you can't learn Masechet Brachot without learning all the importance of Kedusha and Amen and Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevorach and all of the things that are involved therein.
But there's clearly cases in Brachot where there are Rabbein that are saying, I don't bow in the Tzibur, I don't want to bow in the Tzibur, and I don't have to.
Well, wait one second. There is
a case in Brachot where everyone's coming to one of the Rabbein and saying, come, we'll make a minion here. He says, I don't want this.
Those Rabbein were scolded, I thought.
That's not what emerges from a Masechet Brachot. I have to see the exact source he's talking about because I think you are giving it a little bit of an editorial slant.
I thought Rashi gave it an editorial slant. I'm sorry.
I think a little bit of an editorial slant. We'll see the source inside the next year. But bring it inside. But that's not what comes out. What comes out is very different. I'll give you just Daf Gimel in Masechet Brachot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu smiles when he sees the Jews going into the after Churban and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries over the Churban, but he smiles when he sees Jews go into the synagogues and say Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevorach. These are very strong things. And the Gemara has a whole discussion how far you have to go in order to find a tzibur. If you can't find a tzibur, it's a different story. But how far you have to go in order to find a tzibur. And Kedusha, and Kriyas HaTorah. And just like just the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, that just like a person can't live for 3 days without water. Am Yisrael can't live for 3 days without Torah, and that's Kriyas HaTorah. Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos.
That's also, isn't that still a question of whether or not that's, I mean, it's not high, but we smoke.
Again, I don't think you can learn Masechet Brachot, Masechet Tanit, Masechet Megillah without coming away clearly from the obligation of tefillah and kriyas haTorah b'tzibur.
But I'm only asking because we're talking about something really questionable on Shabbat versus right, with setting up a Shabbos. Right, that's what's on the other side. It's not like I'm saying I want to sit at home.
No. But the other side, they're not going to daven. I think there's no question. I hear what you're saying, Chaim. I think there's no question if the individual's at hand